أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق فما لهم لا يؤمنون وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون بل الذين كفروا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يوعون فبشرهم بعذاب أليم إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون صدق الله العظيم. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about how changes take place in this world, and everything in this life is subject to a change. If we look at our souls, from the very first day into the life, up to the last day, and even before that and after that, before coming into the life and after going back from this world, human being continuously keeps on going through changes. There isn't a single day that we can say everything in this life and in our life today and yesterday was exactly the same. There is always some differences. There is always something little different than yesterday. Feelings are different. Looking might be different. Situations are different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this fact in a different way in these ayahs, and He told us, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. I swear by the twilight. Shafaq is the twilight after the sun sets. We see on the horizon some light. That light is a reflection from the light of the sun. And it keeps on changing. Strong light, then gradually it gets reddish. Then you will see a little white light. And then it disappears. And then in the middle of the night, again you start seeing different lights over there. These are all reflections of the sunlight. This twilight is a sign that the day has ended. And the night is coming. And this is with everything in this life, that always the day ends and the night comes. Which means, if we look at our lives, when there is little happiness, you feel too good. Little later, something happens that takes that happiness away. So it's just like the twilight comes and is informing us that your day is over and the night is coming now. Get ready for the darkness. Same thing. Everything in this life is telling us that your day is coming to an end and the night is coming where you will be sleeping in your grave. This life is a short life. Everything around us is reminding us of this fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken oath of four things in this ayah, in these ayahs. And basically all four things are such that we have no control over them. We have no way of changing them. They are considered to be too strong for us. They are considered to be too far for us to make any changes into them. They are considered out of our control and out of our power. After reminding us of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of fifth thing also, which is out of our control, and we forget that it's out of our control. Let's look at these four things, then we will go to the fifth one later on. Number one, ash-shafaq, the twilight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that is reminding us that as you see, the situation is changing. From day, now the day have ended, and the darkness have started, and there is little light over there. Your edge might be left only as much as that light over there, and there will be total darkness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of another thing. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. And I take oath by the night and whatever it has gathered. وَسَقَ means jama'a. Jama'a means to gather something. I swear by the night and whatever it gathers. What is it that the night gathers? The night gathers all the animals. They go back to their places. Gathers all the human beings. They get back to their homes. So everyone goes back to where he's supposed to be. Everyone tries that I do whatever I want during the daytime and nighttime. I need to go back. And the night gathers everyone in its place. This is the second oath. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking this oath, we'll come back to that. So remember, the first oath is of ash-shafaq, the twilight. Number two, of the night when it gathers everything. Number three, wal-qamari idha ittasaq, taking oath of the moon when it gets full, the full moon of the 14th night of the Islamic of the lunar month is a full moon. So this is the third oath. Number four, so altogether there are three oaths. بِالشَّفَقْ وَاللَّيْلْ وَمَا وَسَقْ وَالْقَمَرْ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. These are the three oaths. And number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of a very important fact. After taking these three oaths, He's telling us something. What is that? لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Your situation will change from one form to another form. Your situation will change from one form to another form. It will never remain the same. Let's go back to the oath, then we will come back to the message. I told you why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took oath of the shafaq, the twilight. Because it's telling us about the end of the light, beginning of the darkness. In other words, reminding us of the end of our life and telling us that soon we will be under the ground. We will be in our graves. That's ash-shafaq. Then, wal-layli wama wasaq. And I swear by the night and whatever it gathers. Swearing, taking oath by the night. Because now the night is total dark. And number one, the night is telling us of the changes that the person is going through. Light and then darkness. And again, after the darkness, there will be another light. Situation never remains the same. It keeps on changing. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath of the night because He's saying, وَمَا وَسَقْ. If you think about the night, the way the night gathers everything, same thing, one day we will be gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our situation will not remain the same. We cannot stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, we don't go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, we don't leave those clubs and those social gatherings and come back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we won't leave all of our traditions and customs and don't come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day Allah will gather us in front of Him. The situation will not remain the same as we are in today. It will change for sure. This reminds us of another ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the heaven and the earth, He said to the heaven and the earth, اِئْتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهَا. You come to Me. Either you come to Me now, willingly, or you have to come to Me later, and that will be by force. طَوْعًا, willingly. كَرْهَا, by force. Come back to Me, willingly or by force. So the heaven and the earth replied, أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. We have come back, Ya Allah, willingly. We come to You, Ya Allah, willingly. The same call is for human beings. All human beings, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Join your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either do it willingly here, or you will be forced, and by force you will be taken, and you will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at that time, if you go there by force, and you go back to Allah by force, then of course, that place won't be too good for that person to stand there. So the situation always will change. Finally, we will have to be at the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. But either we go there by force, and it's not good for us, or we go there willingly, and that will be a good situation for us. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. The third oath, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by this moon, as it gets complete. So beautifully he is explaining a situation that when the day is ending, the light is disappearing, and the night is coming, and you feel that now we will have darkness. There is nothing for me there now. It will be total darkness. I won't be able to do anything. And here you see the moon with its full light standing over there. Not only it's shining for itself, it's also providing light for the whole world, for all the human beings to benefit from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you can be that moon. You can prepare yourself. Through your iman you can shine. In the darkness of the night you can shine. In the darkness of kufr, you can shine with your iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that those houses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered and people do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those houses shine like stars when the angels look down at the houses of the world. Just like when we look up in the darkness of the night and you see the shining stars. So beautiful. It looks so nice that everything is dark around you and you see the moon and the stars around it. When the angels look down, they see the reality. And therefore, every house that's full of shirk and kufr, they see dark. Houses that are full of sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they see them dark. But the houses that have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where people might be reciting Quran, where people are doing salah, where people are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those houses shine. And angels see those houses shining just like we see the stars from this world. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in one of his ahadith. He said, don't make your houses like a grave where you don't perform any salah. When you go back home, perform some salah at home also. So that you will have that nur in your home. You will have that light at your home. But of course, not the fara'id. The Farad prayer has to be in the masjid. It should be in the masjid. It doesn't has to be, but it should be in the masjid. And we know how important it is to have it in the masjid. But nawafil should be in the house, and we should try to do as much nawafil as we can in our homes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after taking all of these three things, now He told us, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Oh human being, as you see the day and night changing, as you see the changes in the sunlight, as you see the changes in the moonlight, same thing, there are changes in your life also. A human being can never be in one situation, and especially when we talk about our iman. Our iman never remains on the same level all the time. There is no cruise control for our iman that will keep the iman at that speed and at that pace, and it will always stay there. You see a person doing something wrong, come on, you are hurting your iman. He says, no, it's on cruise control. It never goes down. There is nothing like that over there with our iman. Either is going up or is going down. As soon as we do anything haram, that will go down. And as whenever we take a step towards a good deed, the level of iman goes up. And our deeds are the thing that will judge the iman and will tell us where the level of iman is at that time. We all are sitting in this place, with all of us and so many of us at this one place, no one can say that any two of us have our iman exactly the same and on the same level. No one will claim that, and no one can claim that. So there are many levels of iman and faith. Depending on the strength of this iman and the weakness of the iman, there are many levels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You will be changing from one situation to another situation. Your situation will be changing from one form to another form. And this really applies to everything in our life. Our own existence. Standing from being nothing. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Wasn't there a time that human being was nothing to be remembered? This dust that we walk on the streets, this is exactly what the human being was. And from this dust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to make a human being. And then, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Adam alayhi salatu wa salam together with the dust, now we come into existence. When we look at it physically, we can tell that, and Quran always speaks, مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِي إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. We create the human being from a drop. From one drop. This is our reality. We were created from one drop. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from a dirty drop, then we became a blood, then a piece of flesh, and finally we see a child. And situation of the child keeps on changing all the time. In the beginning, the child is not able to move. All it takes is some milk. Gradually grows up. Now the teeth are started coming out. And now the child is able to eat something more. The child now is able to walk. Now he talks. Then he spends some years playing all the time. As he grows up even more. Now he starts getting the responsibility of studying. And from that time, the human being, when he starts working, the work never ends till the end of his life, and responsibilities never end till the end of the life. if we just look at ourselves, forget people around us, when we think about responsibilities, we might think, having a family, then you have responsibility. Forget about family, forget about relatives, forget about parents, children, brothers, sisters, teachers, students. Forget about all of those relationships. Just if we look at ourselves, wake up in the early in the morning, what is it that we have to do? Can we just put the dress on and run out?
No.
A lot of responsibilities. Wash your mouth. Brush your teeth. Clean your eyes. Go to the bathroom. Clean yourself. All of these are responsibilities that we have to fulfill. And if the person won't do it, people will look at him, will be able to tell that this person is neglecting his own responsibilities and neglecting the responsibilities even towards him, his own self. He's not able to fulfill the responsibilities towards himself. These are all responsibilities. We are full of responsibilities. So the situations keep on changing. The child grows up. And now he looks for work. Finally gets married. Having children. More responsibilities. Getting into the old age. And now pains and difficulties and hardships. And worries. And finally preparing for the final destination. And he thinks, hesitates to say that I will be leaving soon, would like to have big hopes about this life. At the same time, something is telling him that you are leaving soon, so be sure, make sure that you prepare for that life too. And this is how we spend the whole life. Always there are changes into the life. So when we look at our lives here, and we try to have a real good life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, the situation never remains the same. So don't try to have everything in this life, because whatever you have, you will never be certain that you will have it forever. This is, if a person will have everything in this life, at least he will have this problem in this life. If a person has everything in this life, he will at least have this problem in this life, which is a fear of losing it any time, in any moment. This is the beauty of the blessings of Akhirah. This is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the word Khalidun again and again in the Quran. Now we can see the beauty of that word. Ulaika ashabul jannah hum fiha khalidun. Once you go to the Jannah, you will never have a fear of losing anything there. And remember, this is a great blessing. That once you get something, you never fear of losing it. Otherwise, in this life, you really don't know what you will have and what you will lose. We don't even know about our own souls. Our lives. If I have the life, I don't know my brain. I don't know my eyesight. I don't know if my power of speech. I don't know my hearing, I don't know my wife, my children, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my wealth, my home, my job. Nothing is certain in this life. A person who has everything and billions and zillions in this life, yet even that person is not satisfied because he doesn't know how to preserve what he has. And if a person doesn't have any other problem in this life except this one, this is enough just to make the life terrible and make us understand that is not worthy of keeping. Because you don't know when it will go away. And the amazing thing about the worldly gain, that when you need it, you really have to work hard to gather penny upon penny and keep on working hard, dollar by dollars. And once you need these dollars and pennies, they start going away so fast as you are just, you spill the or a glass of water and everything is gushing out of it. This is how it goes away when you need it. When you need, for example, a person gets sick and he needs to spend money now on his health, now he sees the money just flying away. when he was gathering it, he had to work hard for it. Things that he got in years, they go away in seconds and minutes and in days. And this is the problem of this life. So we can see now the difference. In this life, the situation never remains the same. It always changes. And this change is something that's enough to disturb the whole life and tell us, forget about it, I don't need it. I don't want to waste my time and hour and energy and everything just for this, that after getting it, I won't be sure if I will be able to keep it or not. But the beauty of Akhirah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there, that it will always remain. Here when people write your letter, they will, at the end of the letter, some people might end the letter by saying, I remain. And then he will say, yours. Believe me, he remains as long as you keep him happy, otherwise he never remains. He'll turn away and he'll turn around. He won't remain anymore. So everything in this life is the same. And you can never trust what will remain and what will go away. And when anyone will decide to go away, you don't even know that. We don't even know that. This is why Mufassireen, they say the word falaha. Falaha means to have success. But really, according to the Arabic language, falah means, it's a condition of falah, that when a person gets a blessing, he's certain of having it all the time and never losing it. This is falah. That when you get something, you're certain of having it forever, eternal, you will never lose it. Whereas in this life, there is nothing of that kind. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that everything in this life will change. There was a, when Muslims ruled Spain, and they ruled Spain for about 800 years. And finally, we lost it. And we lost it in such a way that it wasn't even allowed in that country after that to keep any Islamic name or Arabic name. People had to change their name, had to change their faith, had to change their iman, and they had to give up everything that they were following before. When the situation changed, a person said a poem about Spain. And some of the poems says, that means that there is nothing in this world that remains always in a good situation. What is the poem? It's a beautiful poem. مَنْ سَرَّهُ زَمَنٌ سَاءَتْهُ أَزْمَانُ. A person who's pleased at one time, he will have a lot of times where he's displeased also. فَلَا يَغُرَّنَّ بِطِيبِ الْعَيْشِ إِنسَانُ. No human being should ever be no one should really have غرور, arrogance, because of a good life, because you don't know when this good life will end and the situation will change and you will be put at a situation where many other people are there at that time and you look down at those people. So this situation of the life really changes so fast that no one has any control over it. So just as we don't have any control over the day to make it day all the time and there is no night, we cannot keep that twilight and refrain from having the darkness. When the darkness comes and night comes and the person is resting, now he feels that I need some more rest. There is no way he can keep the night continuing until his rest is over, and then the day will come. The day will come whether he likes it or not. Same thing, our situations will keep on changing. With this changing situation, we got to remember that let's not try to keep our good situation in this life, because this life will change all the time. Let's build the Akhirah, because that situation will never change. Over there, it will never go bad. And whatever good the person will have will never lose it. And the situation will never go down. So a wise person, by looking at the day and night, at the sun, moon and stars, will get a lesson from these things and will have to come to a conclusion that I don't want to waste my time for something that I have no control over it. If we all will sit together, night time, we are all tired. We all work hard. Night time, at the time of going to bed, we all sit together and everyone is very upset. The night is too short nowadays. We did Isha at 11 o'clock. Now by the time we go to sleep is 12. And Fajr is 5 o'clock. I can't stand this short night. We need a longer night. So we all sit together after Isha and have a meeting. What's the meeting is about? Let's do something about the sun. We have to do something about the sun. And do something that will hold it back and don't allow it to come out at 5 o'clock. So we'll have a longer night. Have a meeting for a couple of hours. And then we go to sleep. What did we really do? What did we achieve? All we did was we wasted those 2 hours of rest. It was better for us not to even think about it. Just go to bed right away if you're tired and get the rest from that time, instead of wasting those 2 hours and then you go and sleep and you are back in the same situation. You can never delay the morning, and you can never hold the sun from coming out at that time. So same thing, when we keep on thinking and wasting all the time, that my dunya, I have to work hard, I have to make more, and finally do this and this, and finally what? Go under the ground. So wasted so much time, so much energy, meetings, gatherings, and all of that for what? For nothing. Finally go back to the same situation. If you look back now at some ayahs in Quran, when the Jews were told that you people are not following the right thing, Quran says, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. Each of them hopes to live for 1,000 years. Quran never says they will never live for 1,000 years. Quran doesn't say that. He replies to them in another way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look how beautifully he replies. A person like us will say, no, we will never allow you to live for 1,000 years. Having all the fun in this life for 1,000 years, we won't let you do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies in a different way. He says, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّ. He says, okay, say I give you the life for 1,000 years. Then what? A very important question. If I give you that life that you're hoping for, then what? You're going back to the same place. Whether you go in 100 years, 50 years, 500 years, or 1,000 years. If you're going to that place, then you better prepare for it. Because even after 1,000 years, you're going to the same destination. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّ. Even if he will get a life of 1,000 years, those 1,000 years will never save him from the punishment. So you better do something that will save you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of trying to prolonging this life and delaying the punishment. Don't delay that punishment. Just look for a way how you can save yourself from the punishment. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in these ayahs. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Your situation will change from one form to another form. You will be changing from one situation to another situation.
And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Then what's the matter with them?
Why still they don't want to become believers? Why still they don't want to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become mu'mineen? فَمَا لَهُمْ. Why? This is a question. What's the matter with them? لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. That they don't believe, they don't trust, and they don't want to accept the iman. After all of these things that are reminding them again and again of their situation, why still they don't want to come back to iman?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, what are you people waiting for? هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا.
Are you waiting for a poverty that will make you forget about everything? Many cases, our excuse for not doing the righteous things is, I'm too busy. Why the person is not able to do the salah on time? He's too busy at his work. Why the person cannot come for Salatul Jum'ah? He's too busy. Why the person never reads Quran? He's busy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا غِنًا إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا.
Are you waiting for a poverty that will make you forget everything? Are you waiting for Allah to take all of this wealth away from you? Take the work away from you? Take the intelligence away from you? And then you will have a type of poverty that will make you forget even about yourself. And you will be just running day and night for a piece of bread. You will not remember anything else in your life. What is it that you're waiting for? أو غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Or are you waiting for a wealth that will make you arrogant? Are you waiting for a wealth that will make you arrogant? That are you waiting for having so much wealth that after you see some people when they get too much, then they start getting arrogant? And now the person doesn't even want to see those people who are with him in his class before. He doesn't want to see some special people, some type of people that he feels, according to his understanding, is a lower class of people. He doesn't want to stand with them in the saf. He doesn't want to shake hands with those people. He doesn't want to say salam to those people. He does not even want to invite those people to his home, and he does not like to be invited by them in their homes. We have divided ourselves into different classes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking us, أَوْ غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Are you waiting for a wealth that will make you arrogant? أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا. Or are you waiting for a type of disease that will just destroy you? Are you waiting for a disease that will destroy you? You won't be able to do any work anymore. And now you hope if you can stand up and just perform one salah, but you can never get up anymore. Now you hope if you can do the salah properly, and you are not able to do it. Now you hope if you can recite the Quran, but you have lost your voice. What are you waiting for? أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا. Are you waiting for a disease that will destroy you? أَوْ هَرَمًا مُفَنِّدًا. Or are you waiting for the old age that will break you down? Are you waiting for the old age that will break you down? And then you won't be able to do anything because of the old age? أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا. Or are you waiting for a death that will just take you away? أَوْ الدَّجَّال. Or you are waiting for the Dajjal. That once the Dajjal will come, then you will do something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يَنْتَظَرُ. That's the worst fitna that people are waiting for. So after he will come, you don't know what you would do. You better do it before he comes. أَوْ السَّاعَ. Or you are waiting for the Day of Judgment. فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. The Day of Judgment is even more difficult and worse.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking us, what are we waiting for the good deeds? When we see ourselves are not doing the good deeds, and we say, inshallah, I will do it later on. This is a hadith that we have to repeat in our mind and ask ourselves, what does this later on mean? What is it that I'm waiting for? Who knows what will be our situation tomorrow? Our situation is changing every day. Today the person is healthy, tomorrow he will be out. Today the person is wealthy, tomorrow he might lose everything. Today the person has work and is able to do some good deeds, tomorrow he will not have any of these. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, don't wait for anything. Just do whatever you can and has towards the good deeds, and always try to rush and get whatever you can get it done in this life, because no one knows when we will be just departing from this life and never have any more chance and opportunity to do anything else, any good deed in our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What's the matter with these people that yet they are not trusting me and they are not believing in me? وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ. When the Qur'an is recited to these people, they do not make a sajda. This is an ayah of sajda, which means whoever will recite the ayah should go back and make the sajda, should do the sajda. So later on, all of us at least should do one sajda after Salatul Maghrib, do a sajda for this ayah that we have recited just now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning us, when the Qur'an is recited to them, how come they still do not make the sajda? Of course, it means after hearing the Qur'an, after listening to the recitation of Qur'an al-Kareem, what's the reason that still we are not back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not ready to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not ready to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sajda is such an important ibadah that when the person is in the form of a sajda, that's the closest form when he's, that's the best situation when he's the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest position for us to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the position of sajda. So when a person performs the sajda, he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, when a person performs sajda, shaitan gets very upset. And he says, أُمِرَ إِبْنُ آدَمَ بِالسُّجُودِ فَسَجَدَ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. This human being is ordered to do the sajda, and he does the sajda, fulfills the order of Allah of doing the sajda, therefore he will get the jannah. And I was asked to do the sajda, and I did not perform that sajda, therefore I'm going to hellfire. So he keeps on crying for that, and then, but of course it's shaitan. We are talking about shaitan. So the right thing for him was that go back and do the sajda. But instead of that, he says, let me try to stop him from doing the sajda, because I'm going to hellfire anyway. Let me try to get him also with me. So he tries hard, very hard, that we do not perform the salah and we do not do the sajda. And this is the reason. When a person makes mistake in salah, the way to make up for the mistake is sajda to sahu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, When a person makes sajda to sahu during salah, shaitan keeps on cursing himself. Shaitan curses himself. Why? Because he goes back and he says, I made him do that mistake. And he was very happy that he made us do the mistake in salah. And now we end up doing two extra sajdas. So he gets so upset that I planned to make him do something wrong, and now he's doing something extra. And especially the sajda is the worst thing to say to shaitan, and we end up doing some extra sajdas. So therefore he gets very upset when the person does sajda sahu. Doesn't mean we should intentionally make the mistake to do sajda sahu. But when we make a mistake and shaitan makes us forget something in salah, we do perform sajda sahu, and we should notice
that these Sayyid al-Sahu are very difficult for Shaitan to take, because he tried his best to be after us. Come on, do the mistake. You don't know if you did two or three rak'ahs. You don't know if you did two or three rak'ahs. In one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if a person forgets in his salah, if he has done two or three rak'ahs, he should go with the lower number. I mean, the question is about two or three, so let's take it as if he has done only two rak'ahs, and then he continues his salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there were only two rak'ahs that he has performed, then of course, at the end of the salah, he completed his salah. And if he had three rak'ahs, so he has done one extra rak'ahs, at the end of the salah, because he wasn't sure, so he should do sajda sahw. Now look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining the situation. He says, if he did three rak'ahs, if there were really three rak'ahs, then he performed, he thought, no, he took the lower number. So now altogether he made five rak'ahs. At the end of the salah, he finished the salah, five rak'ahs, but he thinks he did only four rak'ahs. So now he performs two sajda sahu, those sajda sahu will make up for the mistake that he have made. So those two sajdas will make up for the mistake. But if this person really had done only two rak'ahs, and now he added two more rak'ahs, so what the sajda sahu are for? Are they going wasted?
No.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then these sajda sahu will be targhima li anfi shaytan, just to hurt the shaytan. Why did you make me confused? Why did you confuse me in my salah? So just to hurt him, we'll do two extra sajdas. And that really hurts the shaitan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ, when the Qur'an is recited to them, they do not perform the sajda. So sajda is a very important ibadah, and one of the most liked ibadah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since we are talking about it, let me explain the reason for that also. Why sajda is the best form of the ibadah? Do we know that? It's the best form of ibadah because the form of the sajda is the form of humbleness. The most humbleness a person can show to another person is putting his forehead on the ground. Therefore, we see the non-Muslims in Islam, it's not allowed. But we see the non-Muslims, to pay respect to their elders, they go and they try to bow down before their elders. Sometimes they just bow their heads down a little bit. Sometimes they even bow their backs down. And there were kings and rulers who used to ask people to do the sajda for them. Why? Same thing. It shows the humbleness. That okay, you are the leader. You are the boss. You are the king. Islam says humbleness, teaches us the humbleness, and the type of humbleness that no one else in the world can teach that humbleness. That you go down, you put your forehead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you think about the greatness of Allah. And subhanallah, when a person thinks about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we say in sajda? Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Al-A'la. Just take this word. Al-A'la. And now think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great He is. How high He is. After thinking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there a way that any person will think I'm great? After thinking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would anyone think that I'm great? A person who have lost one of his tooth, and he feels, I'm in great pain, I have lost one tooth. He looks back and there is another person standing behind him and crying loud. What's the matter with you? He opens his mouth, there isn't a single tooth in his mouth. The other person have lost all 32. All of his tooth. This person lost only one. Now this person forgets about himself and trying to treat the other man. Oh, don't worry about it. He's consoling him. Can I get you something to drink? You want me to bring some medicine for you? He forgot about himself.
Because he lost only one, and the person doesn't, the other man doesn't have even one.
When he compares himself with that man, he feels, I have a lot. I have everything. It's just like if I never lost anything. A person who puts his hand in his pocket, sometimes it might happen to us. You put your hand in the pocket, you take your papers out, everything, oh, I had $100 in my pocket. Where did they go? You keep on looking around here and there. I lost my $100. And you feel that you really have a bad loss. You lost $100. And a person beside you, he puts his hand in the pocket and says, and now he starts shouting even more louder than you. What's the matter with you? Oh, I had an envelope. I had put in $1,000 in that envelope. I lost that envelope. So now you start saying to yourself, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. You know, I lost only $100. Alhamdulillah, I lost the $100, not the $1,000. So now you're saying, Alhamdulillah, for losing the $100. It happens. Sometimes, God forbid, a person gets into a car accident. And he loses his car and nothing happens to him. And the person in the other car was injured badly. He broke his legs, his ribs, everything. In the beginning, he was saying, oh, I lost my car. Later on, you see the situation of the other man, he said, Alhamdulillah, it was just the car. So now, when we look at our situation, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. That when we go into the sajda, and you look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after looking at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there a way we can think I'm great? Subhanallah. No way. Comparing ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that the person can get up from the sajda and now again he can ever claim that I'm great. And this is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his attributes in Quran. So when we talk about, sometimes we take these attributes of Allah very lightly. But when we really take them in reality, say for example we recite Quran al-Kareem, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, he's all powerful, the wise one. You think about your strength. He's saying, I'm the powerful one. Now you start looking at his power, you forget about your power. Sometimes we feel, I'm very wise. I have a lot of wisdom. Now when you look at Al-Hakim in Quran, and you start looking at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you forget all about your wisdom. You feel that you are nothing. You look at the knowledge of Allah, you read in Quran Al-Alim, he is all knowing. And sometimes you feel, I'm very knowledgeable. And now you start looking at Al-Alim, subhanahu jalla wa ala, and you think, subhanallah, if he is all knowledgeable, and you look at his knowledge, you just think about his knowledge, we don't even know how much knowledge he has, but you just think about the knowledge he has, you can tell that I'm ignorant. I have nothing. So this is what all of these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are, this is what they're teaching us. So in sajda, subhana rabbi al-a'la, glory to my Lord, who is the highest? And now my forehead is on the ground and I'm nothing. And this is abd. This is the servant. When we put our heads before our master and we confess that we are nothing, Ya Allah, and you are the greatest and I'm nothing. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this human being whose forehead is in the sajda and is saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why Allah loves the situation of the sajda. This is the reason. Because He likes humbleness from human beings. He likes human beings to prove themselves being servants and Allah is the master. And this is what we prove in the sajda. This is why. This is the reason in our salah from ruku', what do we do? Do we go to the sajda from ruku'? No. After ruku', we stand up and then we go to the sajda, which means proving that from the highest position that I can stand on, going to the lowest position, putting myself down there. Not from the middle. Go back up high.
And from that highest position, go all the way down to the ground and put the forehead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and confess, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory to Allah who's the greatest. So, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the sajda and importance of the sajda. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ But the disbelievers are still, they keep on rejecting. After every reminder, still, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ They keep on rejecting. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ Allah knows whatever they have. Allah knows whatever they have. Let them have whatever they want. Today we feel they have weapons, they have power, they have wealth, they have whatever we feel they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ is warning them really. Someone have keeping his hand behind his back and he says, you better listen to me, you don't know what I have behind my back. And there is a mirror behind there and you can see that he has only a pen in his hand. So now, you look at him and say, I know what you have, don't try to scare me. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ Allah says, I know what you have. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ But the disbelievers are still rejecting and Allah knows what they have. It won't work over there. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Give them the news of painful torment. Give them the news of a very painful punishment. عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Very painful punishment. Bashara. Normally in Arabic language we translate the word Bashara as a good news. But Bashara doesn't mean only a good news, it can mean both. Although it's used normally for a good news, but it's driven from the word Bishra. And Bishra means the skin. The skin of your body is Bishra. So any news that will change your skin, the looking of your face, that's Bashara. Either make you smile, that's Bashara, change the situation of your face, change the look of your face, or it will make you cry and make your face get red, make you feel bad. That's also a Bashara because it makes your skin change, your situation change. So this is what the Bashara is, exactly, from the literal meaning, from the translation of the Arabic language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Give them the news of a very painful punishment. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ Except for those who believe and do the virtuous deeds, they will have a reward that will never come to an end. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ Yes, they will have a reward that will never come to an end. What does this mean? A reward that will never come to an end. غَيْرُ مَمْنُون has two meanings. One is مَقْطُوع. مَمْنُون means مَقْطُوع, which means anything that gets cut off. And this is what we were talking about before, that a great blessing is that when you have something, even if you have $1, if you're sure that this dollar will remain and you will never have to spend it throughout your life till the last day of your life, then it's a great blessing. And if you have $1,000,000 and you know that you might lose it any time, then it's really something that you will always be worrying about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers, those who do the good deeds, they will have a reward in the akhirah that will never be taken away from them, will never have an end. So you will be sure to have it forever. The second thing mamnoon means, مَنَّ يَمُنُّ means to remind something of a favor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the blessings in the akhirah that we will have, no one will tell us, see, I'm doing a favor to you, I have given you this. This is another big difference between the favors of this life and the favors of akhirah. In this life, if we do a favor to a person, then at the end we might end up saying, Alhamdulillah, you know, that day, even if the person is too good, sometimes the person is bad and will tell you right on your face, yeah, remember what was your situation before and I helped you at that time? But some people who are good, they will say, yeah, Alhamdulillah, Allah helped me that I was able to help you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the Akhirah, no one will remind you of these blessings and favors. And it will be that if no one is giving you anything, you are just getting it for yourself. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. No one will remind you of his favors. And Allah will never say, see, I'm doing what I'm doing for you, so you have to do this for me. No, there is nothing like that over there. In Jannah, there is no order given to human beings. Subhanallah. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, don't or do. Do whatever you want. But the condition is, in this life, you go spend the whole life according to do's and don'ts. So in the Akhirah, you won't have to go through these. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the Jannah and give us all of these blessings in this dunya and Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the iman and tawfiq to preserve our iman, to practice upon our faith and our iman, and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.